Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us, and thanks for filling every single seat here. This is wonderful. I'm Barry Fry. I run DPAA. DPAA is the Global Out-of-Home Advertising Association, and our mission in the world is to bring innovation and digitization to the out-of-home world. And we are a global organization. We've got members in every continent except for Antarctica. The penguins only look at icebergs, no out-of-home advertising. But Matthew Dearden's going to put screens up in Antarctica one day soon.
Not sure that's a brag, Barry, but thank you for the thought.
Exactly. And what we're going to talk about today is a little bit more specifically, in addition to the digitization of out-of-home, is retail media. As many of you know, Group M and others have stated that the retail media business is over £100 billion business each year, predicted for this year. Now, what's interesting about that is online before you get into real stores, into real life, where does anybody know what percent of purchases are actually made in real stores these days as opposed to online? Anybody take a guess? Nobody knows in the smart advertising group? You won't be embarrassed. 85% of purchases take place in real life, in real stores. So now this group and our global organization, we know programmatic in stores, we know hardware in stores, software in stores, advertising, et cetera, content. So this esteemed panel is going to talk a little bit about that today. A little bit about that today. We have with us Karan Singh, who's the UK General Manager for Vistar Media. Give him a hand. Matthew Dearden, you can continue with the applause, CEO of Alight Media. James Appleby, the UK MD, Managing Director for Assembly, a great agency. And then Helen Mall from the Chief Marketing Officer for View, a wonderful global SSP.
Yeah, give her a hand.
I was missing out on this.
Yeah. Don't make her blue. She has a blue dress, but give her a nice applause, okay? So we're going to start off asking everybody some of the similar questions. Evidently, advertisers are increasingly spending in out-of-home. I may jump up and down or walk around. It's what I do. Well, thank you for smiling. Karan runs Vistar UK, came from a great digital background, and all the great smart digital folks are now joining us in the out-of-home world because out-of-home is a digital medium, and we define that by being programmatic, by being addressable, by having data, by having targeting, by having screens, by having 3D, QR codes, et cetera. So you run a great SSP and DSP, a full stack, and you've also just made some acquisitions. But before we get into some of that, tell us about why there's been so much growth in out-of-home from your view, Karan.
Yeah, so I think out-of-home as a channel has always been like one of the darling childs for marketers and advertisers anyway. And what I saw in my previous role and coming into here is advertisers really leaning into the tech decisions and where the money's going. I think the big trigger point for me has been this concept of attention and attention becoming currency in this kind of new world. And for me, the digital out-of-home space or the out-of-home space more holistically is one of the most attention-grabbing formats you can have. And with the advancements that we've seen within programmatic and digital and all the cool stuff that enables in real time, it sits in a really nice spot when it comes to this piece around media diversification, which is a term that we're hearing more and more, especially within my world, the programmatic space, where marketers have invested a lot of money into social, digital, and actually they continue to scale their spend, but not necessarily seeing the upside for that increased spend. And they're actually looking at where else they can put it. And actually, digital out-of-home seems to be top of the agenda. And it's the reason that I joined this space, because it's exciting and set to grow. And it's certainly what we're hearing from the market.
Wonderful. I'm glad you're here. So two key points, actually, for anybody doing social, including Tim in the room. Media diversification, very key. And then with the thousands of messages bombarding us all day long, attention and really getting consumers' attention for brands, which is increasingly challenging. Some high points of out-of-home that you see. Matthew used to run Clear Channel Europe and Clear Channel UK, and now he's building a great business. And what's your view on out-of-home, since you've dedicated your life to it now?
Well, I dedicated the last decade or dozen years, before which I was a marketing director. So I still bring the point of view of being, we shouldn't be apologetic as ad people about trying to influence consumers and how they feel and think and behave. So the first thing that I think is increasingly unusual in out-of-home is being unapologetic about delivering big audiences quickly. And we get so much sucked into a rabbit hole of where can we refine this, that, and the other, which is really important. And when I was a consumer marketer, I bought a lot of clever online campaigns. But actually, we end up delivering quite small audiences. And there is something very important about unapologetic reach, fast cover build, and the power of a public promise. The fact that we all know the brand is saying the same thing to all of us makes it a more compelling offer. And there's some fairly deep neuroscience about how that fits. So I think there's strengths in out-of-home that as other media fragment or audiences decline, we get even stronger. And that's then paired with some of what you've been talking about is, if I prefer to think of us as digital media in the public domain than digital out-of-home, because if I think as digital media, then we get into the clever stuff that you've been suggesting, where we can get much smarter about how we continue to use our vast audiences and engage much better with data-driven media planning and creative.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you. One of the hottest holdcos these days, Stagwell, I mean, they're buying up everybody. Have they bought Advertising Week yet?
That's next year.
Okay.
So I guess in terms of building on what these guys have just said, like flexibility, my background is
media
planning, like the flexibility of outdoor is obviously can be a really good and a really bad thing. I'm sure if you're selling it, sometimes that's not something you want to lean into and say we can be all things to all people. That's why if you look at Cannes Lions Awards, for example, it will feature in, you know, most winning case studies, Media Week Awards will be the same sort of thing. But coming from Assembly, where we look performance first in our media planning, it's a really interesting space for us to lean into, because then we have a lot of client conversations where they say, you know, our search is nailed and our social is nailed. How do we continually re-optimize those things every single day? We look at programmatic display. They're all kind of looking for that next step up the funnel. And when you obviously you do get into attention metrics and things like that, but starting to be able to kind of say, well, actually, this feels much more akin to your social activity that you're quite comfortable doing, and you might not have the measurement in place that, you know, that you would like that you have, say, in search. So you maybe have to look at different ways of measuring it, like short-term econometrics or things like that. But the flexibility in outdoor at a time when people are really looking performance first for their marketing spend is for us quite an exciting space.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, out of home started kind of as a brand reach and awareness top of funnel medium. And now we are enabling consideration and actually people take an action down the funnel, which makes it very exciting. And Helen, from Vue's standpoint, and Vue is also a global SSP.
Yeah.
And what's your point?
So, can't disagree with what the guys have said. I think to build on what James and Karan have said, that there is much more opportunity now, and advertisers are seeing that out of home does have both those upper funnel and actually all through the funnel now capabilities.
Right.
And we're seeing that in more and more case studies. You know, we've had some great examples where using out of home, you know, to create that big impact that Karan was mentioning, gain that attention and then retarget. And the ability to integrate through programmatic into much more of an omni-channel campaign is really coming to the fore. And we're seeing case study after case study, proof after proof, where you're showing that actually how it does work together, and it is amplifying other channels. So it is, you know, a much more of an integrated approach, I think, these days. I think the other thing that I would say here, and the reason that it is so attractive, is there's massive innovation in out of home at the moment. We do an annual report called State of the Nation, and 83% of the respondents, and we looked at over 1,000 people globally, and 83% were saying that out of home is the most innovative channel. And this is why
innovative channel.
And this is why it's attracting advertisers.
Right.
So there's so much that you can bring, and I'm sure we'll get onto it, but you know, DCO, the ability to actually now to use any screen for 3D. You don't have to have a specific screen. There's so much innovation, and that's really attractive. And I think we're just scratching the surface of really seeing how out of home is playing within that omni-channel campaign. Because if you're the consumer, you're never just absorbing one media. Right. You're across the... Across
every consumer consumes all channels. Every brand should be in all channels. And an important part of the OMNI mix is OOH. and there in, let's talk about the kind of topic of the day, retail media and out of home. So as I mentioned, 85% of the purchases in store, huge opportunity to actually get attention in store. Matthew, a lot of your business is focused on retail media. Why is it a growing area for brands and agencies?
So I guess we take the disciplines that we have as a young, slightly upstart digital in the public domain business. So we started just before COVID and became the market leaders in the UK in digital billboards. So we've kind of got the credentials of scale, and now we can take how we do that into a different area where we founded a digital retail division last year. Our first partnership is with a business called Stonegate, who are the biggest pubs and clubs in the UK. So Slug and Lettuce, Be It One, Sports Bar and Grill, loads of other places, and Mixer Media. So what I think is relevant here is they're putting really high quality screens in as part of the consumer experience. And if I think back to my roots as a marketing director, trying to get consumers to do something that is interruptive or erosive of their value is not sustainable. So if you just slap at a screen and interrupt them, that doesn't work. But if you put something in as part of a modern consumer experience, which I think physical digital retail usually is, it enhances the shopper experience. Then consumers respond well to it. What we're able to do is pair quite high dwell times. You're talking about something like an hour with very high footfall, maybe 100 million annual footfall, very large number of screens. It's now Britain's largest full motion network of screens with quite a lot of depth of data. So coming back to some of the points you've made, we find that we're selling it to agency teams who, some of them buy out of home normally, some of them buy AV, some of them are buying TikTok alongside these vertical video. So we think of it as a physical social medium, and people really engage with it in the venues that they're in. And for the marketing director, you talked about return. The marketing director, we're seeing uplifts that are big enough that typically it pays for the campaign just on the short-term sales uplift, and the brand build is very significant but kind of free. So for me, it's thinking differently beyond the traditional out-of-home boundaries into how do you blend a digital mentality into social media, into digital, into AV, and recognizing the fact you're in a different context and you've got creative and media planning and depth of data that delivers the right consumer experience that delivers a brand result rather than just interrupting.
And that content and the ads are for the venue and for the audience there could be targeted. Go ahead, Fine.
So just adding to that point, because I think it's important, is actually when people think of retail media, their minds automatically go to like measurable, right? And sales impact immediately. And retail media is many things, right? It's everything from coupon at till that I was doing in 2012 before retail media was cool.
Right.
To the in-store stuff that you have, to, you know, your club card vouchers if it's Tesco, to the screens that go outside. And what we can't miss is the fact that out of home as a medium lends it really well to that little mix that you have within retail media, where it doesn't always have to be straight after. So actually, when you're coming into store, what retail media allows you to do is not just measure what they're buying that day, but actually in a post period or versus different stores, what is the uplift over time and the impact of that advertising? And actually, what I don't want, especially coming from a programmatic space, is out of home to be lumbered with a lot of the two down the funnel stuff that we have within programmatic display, where people are just chasing clicks and stuff like that. You can't click on a billboard, and I love that, by the way. It's what it can deliver over time. And actually, even within the retail media world, that's still the job it does. The beauty is you're able to measure it over that time. And I think that's where there's a massive opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, people are out and about, they're on their journey. As you know, coming from the digital space, that last click has really not just been created by Google, but by out of home, by telly and other. I mean, I like what you mentioned about quality screens. The environment of out of home is very high quality and a great brand environment, very brand safe environment.
It is brand safe. And if I can add one thing on that, I completely agree. And part of the peril of out of home is, I know when I was a marketing director, I got my biggest returns on spend when I did big, brave, above the line activity and then harvested that demand online.
Great.
And the harvesting is easy to prove and measure. The creation of the demand is much harder to prove and measure. Whereas as we get into retail, it gets a little bit easier to prove, as long as you don't just do it on the first visit. You can prove it there, but you've got to recognize you're getting a longer term effect that gives the output.
Sure. You spoke about social media a little bit, and a lot of our members around the world are working with TikTok on a strategy called out of phone, out of home, out of phone, TikTok up, and the content is there. And you do a lot of social at the Stagwell Assembly World, James. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the power of out-of-home and social
together. Yeah, absolutely. I think, we've sort of slightly become obsessed with, the screen and the feed and the finish on things. But what we see with a lot of our clients, we work on a lot of European clients who work across multiple markets, in multiple languages, with multiple copies, multiple products. So you're very, very quickly into a world of hundreds, if not thousands, of ad variants and opportunities to target. And I think actually that complexity is what a lot of clients have evolved and needed agencies to evolve into. And there's a real opportunity with outdoor. You know, if I go back 10 years, my route into outdoor, I was learning outdoor kind of 10, 12 years ago, having moved out of TV. And I was like, how do you learn outdoor? And someone was like, it's quite straightforward. You know, you pick a site and you stick a poster up. You know, this is obviously way back when. I was like, oh, this is it. This is simple. So I think a lot of people have got that quite ingrained entry point to outdoor, which is that, you know, it's straightforward and it can be really subjective. People, you put something on a site list and they go, don't like that one. Okay, great. Take that one off. So the science gets eroded a bit. But I think the opportunity to take a lot of that complexity that exists in clients' planning world and agency world, where you're looking at iterations or CRO that you were talking about earlier, Helen, and actually being able to plug that into a more programmatically enabled world is great. And the point around not seeing it as, you know, you put an ad up for a chocolate bar and people go and buy the chocolate bar that week. If we're not seeing it, we're not doing it again. I've worked on clients where that's definitely happened and put them off. You have to think more holistically about the consumer journey. We all do. And I think there's a real opportunity for planners and outdoor specialists and programmatic specialists alike to kind of be a bit curious about what's going on in this space. Cause I feel like there's so much opportunity to expand, and I'll be taking the TikTok example.
Let's continue on the programmatic with Helen. Certainly programmatic ads, relevancy, targetability, retargeting, dynamism in terms of serving ads dynamically by time, by temperature.
Yep.
How do you folks see programmatic enhancing this retail media IRL in real life world?
Yeah, so we really see that opportunity, as Matthew said, for not only the screens, but actually all of the other touch points that you have. So, you know, if you are a retailer such as Tesco, you have multiple brands that want to get into your store. So, you know, there's an opportunity for them as the customer is coming, they're ready to purchase. You know, you can expose your advertising to them outside of store, but then you also have all of the data. I think that for retailers is one of their, you know, golden nuggets that they really have is the ability to use that first party data, either with your partners or for your own. For instance, we have an example with M&S, and they use their own first party data. They use that to creatively and dynamically change the ads that were outside or in proximity of the store. So if there was an item that they were displaying that was low on stock, they could then change it very quickly. So programmatic enables all of that real-time adjustability, flexibility, making it very contextual, relevant, up to the minute. And the data is really what I think is going to push this industry forward. And that's really where we go from here. You know, that's what the opportunity is in retail media, in store for those retailers, as well as on their own screens.
So we're not only showing viewership or impressions, but also attribution and lift.
Absolutely. So, you know, obviously footfall and sales are a key metric, I think, for a lot. But to Karan's point, there is that time lag of actually, if you have built that association and that brand preference, you know, what are you seeing post exposure in the sort of 3, 4, 5, 6 months afterwards?
And that's because of the power of the screen and the power of that impact and the relevance to the consumer journey, et cetera. We're going to take maybe a couple of questions. If anybody has any, give it some thought. I'll come back in a moment. Karan, you've just globalized your DSP. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So, I mean, we want to get it right here first. But essentially offers a global marketplace. We have a lot of global brands going on this media diversification journey. They want to buy across markets. For us, programmatic really simply allows you to do cool shit in real time, right? So we're using triggers.
Do cool shit in real time.
In real time.
Programmatic out of home. That's great.
In a nutshell, that's what we're trying to do. And it's not as much about when you switch on advertising, touching on what Helen was talking about. one of the conversations I was having with a big global brand is, this is really cool because it means I know when to switch off advertising in real time. So actually, if I'm selling ice cream and in the UK it still rains and it can be 13 degrees in July, I need to know when to turn that off outside a Tesco store or wherever that happens. Or if the pollen count is really high, I want to be doing hay fever medication, and I want to have that as a dynamic part of the creative where we are. So programmatic enables you to be flexible, to do stuff in real time. What it isn't is a replacement for traditional buying, right? Traditional buying of out of home has its space if you want to buy a couple of weeks spot in Oxford Circus. But when you want to do stuff and have that flexibility and democratize programmatic out of home, not just to the biggest advertisers in the world, but to the mid and long tail as well, that's the journey we're trying to go on. And the marketplace we've built really, really enables that.
That makes a lot of sense. Any questions for this esteemed group? Still quiet there. Oh, we've got one in the front. Your name is?
Robert.
Robert.
So how much of the digital at home universe is truly programmatic? So in our experience of using programmatic at home, we're told that, you know, the world's your oyster. Reality is, all the brands tend to still buy in advance and book out that. So I mean, you're such a monster.
Yep.
Where are we now? What's the dream moving forward in 2 years, 3 years, programmatic?
So good question. So in the UK, it's still in its infancy, right? So it varies massively by market. If we look at our US footprint, some of our European markets, we're at like 50% plus in some of those markets. In the UK, I think 2-5% is traded programmatically. Where we have a really good position in the market, and why I think this is interesting, is we have a marketplace that works with the Alights of this world, the Views, the media owner side of the business, as well as the demand side. And actually, it becomes chicken and egg. In the same way it was with display back in the day, or CTV, where we're doing an education piece around what programmatic does, where it can drive incremental revenue to media owners. So actually, we're not taking money from places where you're already going to get it. But actually, this is overinvestment into social channels or a particular media owner on the display side, and actually drive that forward. So we're having that conversation, we're going on that journey. And luckily we've got great partners on board on both sides of the ecosystem that are starting to facilitate that. I would love to get this to 10% by the end of the year and 50% as soon as possible. I'm conscious it's a journey that we have to go on, but we're willing to, you know, the penny's starting to drop with deprecation of the third party cookie, all that stuff happening. We're getting a lot of inbound for our service. And with that demand comes the availability of inventory, right? So that conversation we're trying to join up and make happen this year.
We've kind of done on time. We can go on forever. You mentioned the deprecation of the cookie. In the world where the cookie goes away, the power of context up levels to a tremendous degree. And we've got some up leveling staff and people here. Thank you so much, Karen, Matthew, James, and Helen. Let's give them an applause for some great
nonsense.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.